Well, quoting from an article by Melissa Shamam, writer and lecturer at UWE in Bristol, when she writes, the most violent contemporary state repression ever applied to a street protest in Western Europe was, well, the Paris massacre. Now, this is how British historians Jim House and Neil McMaster describe the massacre of Algerians protesting peacefully in Paris on October 17, 1961, during the period now known in history as the Algerian War. The protesters, 30,000 pro-independence Algerians, were demonstrating against a curfew that had been imposed on Algerian Muslim workers. French Muslims and French Muslims of Algeria, as they were known by various, titles. Authorities not only intended to stop the demonstration, but according to many eyewitnesses, who, mind you, some of whom are elderly but alive these days, intended to kill the protesters with police officers, even throwing some of the demonstrators alive into the Seine River. Joining us this evening is Reem Saralun, French academic and commentator, PhD candidate in comparative law at the University of Toulouse, capital in France. Reem Saralun's research focuses on religious freedom, constitutional law, and human rights in Europe and North America. Joining us live from Toulouse, France this evening. Assalamu alaikum. Bonsoir, Reem.
Alaikum salam. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for joining us. You know, there are, of course, events that take place in the world that, you know, one should continue to remind the new generation, the new society that's now growing up, that what were the significance of these particular events. Remind and educate us, Reem, our listeners, upon what happened 60 years ago in Paris against the Algerian community.
Sure, it's a very heavy memory. So indeed, many Algerians, Muslim men and women, were peacefully demonstrating against a racist and discriminatory curfew. And remember, we are in the middle of the War of Independence in Algeria. And Algerians were targeted and massacred by the Paris police under the order of Maurice Papon, a well-known war criminal who also is famous for deporting Jewish people during World War II. He holds that responsibility, and yet even at that time, he held power. This event is actually part of a bigger story. Algerians have long migrated to France, and colonial methods of repression followed them in their migration. They were tracked, they were put under surveillance, and Algerian workers especially were very politically active. And of course, nobody likes politically active people when you are under the power of the colonizer, the oppressor. And this government instituted a curfew only for Algerians. And of course, we need to remember this because unfortunately, France still know police violence against certain group of people. And it's something that we still haven't learned from history simply because we are still in denial of our colonial past. So it's very important to remember this tragic event to not make the same mistakes in the future.
Reem, I mean, moving on, it's been, 60 years since this particular event. Has there been a plan for repatriations for French, Algerians, in the sense that, one thing is tortures and crimes that took place against the Algerian people in Algeria, where France remained as a colonizer for, since 1830, right up until the 1960s, over 130 years. In that interim period, millions of people could have potentially died, either through, jihad, the mujahideen, men and women, as well as, other issues, hunger, famine. The French use all these issues. But this particular murder. It took place, well, not in Algeria or Morocco or Tunisia, anywhere else, or Mali or Mauritania. It took place right in Paris, the very same Seine River where the tourists walk today, which I visited, you know, visiting the Eiffel Tower, walking on that embankment. It took place right there. I mean, has there been this call that you need to repay back, you need to acknowledge that what was committed was a war crime by the police and the authorities of the day?
It's a very good question. I will start by answering this question by saying that we don't even apologize for colonization as a whole. There have never been apologies issue, and actually President Macron was quite clear about it. He recognized that, colonization was a crime against humanity, but he refused to apologize for it. And regarding that massacre, it was in 2011 or 2012 that then President François Hollande paid an homage to the victims of the massacre of October 1961. And yesterday, Macron declared that this massacre was unforgivable and yet refused to issue an official formal apology. It's simple. I think we, like I said, we are still in denial. And, you know, issuing an apology implies recognizing we have been doing something wrong. And on a political level, it's unacceptable for France because, remember, we have many conservatives, many in the far right, who actually actively participated to colonization, condone these actions, and we still need to keep their electorate, their vote. And, you know, recognizing this massacre means reparations. And France refused to do that. Don't forget, we still have in France so-called discussions, they're not even discussions, but more statements that good things came out of colonization, which obviously is an acceptable statement. So I think France has issue with its troubled past, and we all know that colonization still has an impact in today's French society, but as well as in Algeria. And I'm not sure. The interesting thing in France is, like, there have been some progresses. Tiny steps have been taken, right? Even symbolic actions. But we always take one step forward and take 10 steps backwards. So we recognize it was a war, a crime against humanity. But at the same time, Macron declares, for example, recently that before the French colonization, there were no such thing as an Algerian nation or as Algeria. So you can't play both sides here. You really need to be straightforward. Fortunately, historians have done their work. I think we just need to do some self-reflection here.
This particular event, the Paris massacre, how is it viewed amongst Algerian, you know, society, Algerian academia? You know, quite often an event takes place that is quite recent. And if I can cite it as an example, maybe something like the Boston Tea Party that remained the topic of discussion between England and the new America for a long time. This particular event, does it bring up old sore and difficult conversations in Algeria itself? Do Algerian politicians, the current ones, I don't know so much about them, but from the days of Bouteflika, etc., did they now bring it up as a as a discussed topic between us and France, one that we have not as yet satisfied answers for?
It's quite tricky. I'm going to tell you why. So on the one hand, you know, Algerians know their history. They know what happened. And extraordinary work has been done by Algerian and French historians, activists, and so on, to recognize that massacre, to work on colonization. So the work has been done, really. And Algerians, like I said, know their history, know what happened. As for Algerian politicians, unfortunately, colonization has been weaponized by the regime as a way to keep control of the population, right? Not to find solution, not to try to move forward for a better future for Algeria, but really is using colonization for literally everything and nothing to justify them to remain in power. And this is problematic because the youth today wants to move forward, to learn from the past, to have a better future. And the same way the French are dismissing colonization, the regime in Algeria is using it against its own population, sometimes even using colonial methods to keep the population under their order. So honestly, let's just believe the people and follow their call. And you know, the apologies and the recognition has to come from the French. You know, Algerians know. They know their history. They have tried to build a better future under very tough conditions. But if any apologies they issue, I mean, of course it's for the Algerians and, you know, to recognize their suffering, but it's also for the French and for France. France needs to heal, because otherwise we will keep digging into this and repeat the same mistake. We are already repeating the same mistake. So I think we need, like I said, to do some self-reflection on what kind of future we want, especially with our Muslim population and the children of those who were victims of this horrendous massacre.
The way President Macron has been campaigning in France in the past year, I mean, when you look at the statements that he made, at least in the last 18 to 24 months, and he has become, well, you know, it may make us consider that France, or the political elite of France, have become one of the most racist societies in the world. Now there are those who argue and say that he's merely doing it to counter the influence of people like Marie Le Pen, or, you know, he's doing it with a political strategy, and his policies do not necessarily reflect what he is saying. There are others who argue that, you know, what his home minister is a perfect example of what his policies are in real life, going after mosques, going after you know, the continued dressing of people. But the campaigning of Macron, I mean, how is it viewed? Is he bringing up old issues and making them current?
Well, you know, I don't know if France is the most racist nation in the world, but clearly we do have some serious issues regarding racism, anti-Muslim sentiment, which is unfortunately very entrenched in our current politics. And Macron is doing what any politician is doing, trying to win an election. And for that, he is ready to use any card that he believes will help him be reelected. And for that, you have to play both sides. So at some point, you will do something that seems very laudable, you know, for minorities, etc. And on the other end, you also want to captivate, to keep, to attract the most conservative part of your electorate, which is usually well known for being pro-colonization, and who used to be fully part of the colonial apparatus. They are still alive. And playing both sides, in my opinion, is very dangerous in the sense that, in the end, it's always the most weak who will pay the price for it. And as a result, we end up in a situation when, literally, we have a white supremacist pundit at the moment. I will not even name him because I do not want to give him more attention than he deserves, but we have a white supremacist pundit who is most likely going to run for re-election, who spread the most white supremacist, racist ideology on live television, media focus on him, and guess what? He might very well be end up you know, in front of Macron at the second round of the election. And I think it's very sad that despite, you know, every time we ask us to, you know, never forget, you know, whether it's the Holocaust or this massacre of 1961, etc. And yet, we keep falling into that trap. So, never forget, but should not just remain words. It should be followed by actions, real actions, to not repeat the same mistake in history. And we are literally doing the opposite. So, if Macron wants to win again this election, he will have a lot of work to do because clearly he won't have the support of the minorities.
Reem, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us on Radio Islam International. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ahlaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you so much for having me. Take care.